If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for one more time to be able to stand before the congregation of Good Shepherd Baptist Church and lift up the name of Jesus and proclaim the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that while we come here today and while our minds are on Thanksgiving, coming up a wonderful national holiday, Lord, a time of rejoicing and a time of praising and a time of giving thanks, I pray that you keep our minds focused on you, dear Heavenly Father, the giver of all good gifts. So that with all that's within me and with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that lives are changed, souls are saved, and hearts are turned towards home. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Coming up on Thanksgiving. Why don't y'all turn your Bibles to Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. And while you're head there, I'll just kind of give you a little introduction to what I'm thinking about for today, for the congregation. There's so much, you know, you open up the newspaper, or if you have the audacity to open up your computer, and then they take you down those rabbit trails. Did you know this? Now, you didn't turn it on to get to that, but did you know this? And so you go down that little rabbit trail, and they just kind of take you down and lead your thoughts. And there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of talking about this and a lot of talking about that. Just constant, incessant chatter. And the Dow Jones is up. No, the Dow Jones is down. The progressive left. The regressive right. What's the latest song? Let's talk about what's the greatest song. Let's talk about Hillary. Let's talk about Trump. Let's talk about, how about them Cowboys? Hey, how about them Cowboys? All kinds of talk going on. All kinds of chatter going on. But I want you to know, I'm here to tell you today that all those topics, as interesting as they may be for now, they have one thing in common. They're all temporal. They're all for a moment. Only for a while. I can ask teenagers today, who was the first president of the United States of America, the very first one, and I'm not making this up, they'll tell you Abraham Lincoln. No, you don't laugh. I know. They did that to me, and I thought they were joking. I thought they were pulling my leg. No. So that's why I'm telling you, we got to give them some eternal stuff. We got to give them something that's going to shape them. And don't forget, I've said it to you before, whatever you're putting into your kids, you're shaping the next generation. You're teaching your kids and you're teaching your grandkids simultaneously. And you're teaching your nieces, you're teaching your nephews, you're teaching your cousins. So you're teaching to the very, at least the next generation. So take the things that, since the word of God is eternal, take these things and keep them in mind and share them and talk to people about the important things. We got to give them something eternal. We have to give them something eternal. And that's why we want to talk about God today. We're going to talk about God. I want you to kind of put this in your head, these two letters, R and R. I know for the folks in the military, that was a little bit of rest and relaxation, okay? But I got a new thing for R&R for the Christians. And R&R for the Christians is remind us to remember. Remind us to remember. Pastor, remind us to remember what? what our topic is for the day. It's time to take time to talk about the Lord. It's time to take time to talk about the Lord. R&R, remind us to remember to talk about the Lord. He's the only one who's eternal, y'all. He's the only thing that's going to matter when you're there on your sick bed. Doctors and gave you all the dope and not an ounce of hope. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. One of the first times I had the opportunity to go as a young preacher, they sent me to the hospital of this brother who was on his way out. He's on his way to glory. And he was a strong saint. And so I'm there and I'm by myself, and I go in, and I knew the man, and I knew him. We were actually on good terms. I knew him, and so I go in, and I say hi, and I've never been in this situation before where I have to speak to somebody who he is on his way out, y'all. It's a matter of days at best. He's on his way out. Every sign, barring God stepping in and doing a miracle, he's on his way out. And I came in and I sat down, and him and I used to talk about golf and a couple other things, and just regular stuff. And I started talking to him about golf. He just laid there. I started talking to him about sports. He likes sports, other sports. And I'm trying to bring in some levity here. And I'm kind of at a loss. Now I'm supposed to be the one coming in here to bring him some cheer, right? And he says, son, he said, why don't you turn your Bible to John 3:16? And I'm like, oh, read that to me, would you, son? Would you read that to me? He put things in perspective, y'all. He could care less about the Dow Jones. He could care less about the Cowboys. He could care less about, and he loved golf. He could care less about it. He said, talk to me about Jesus. So today, with our R&R, I want you to say that to yourself. Remind me to remember that when I'm talking about all the politics and I'm talking, let me toss in some Jesus. Let me toss in the Word of God. Our scripture reads Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2 from the King James Bible. Our scripture reads, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. When you look at this, it says, give thanks, call upon the name, make his deeds known, sing unto him, and talk of his wondrous works. Whole lot of talking going on. Whole lot of talking going on. But I want today, this is like a little miniature instruction booklet. Just right there, those two verses. And it's saying, in a nutshell, it's time to take time to talk about the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. Brother Fox, if you'll assist me. It's Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving. Say, Pastor, what you doing? I'm the pastor. I can do these things. I want you to raise your hand. Because he says, give thanks. thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That's the first thing he says, right? Lord, talking about Jehovah, God. Raise your hand. Tell me what you got to be thankful about. Get to the point, because I want everybody to get an opportunity.
I'm thankful for my family.
Amen. Amen. Wait, while you're there, Sister Marilyn, go ahead. We're easy.
I'm thankful for Nathan.
Amen. Go ahead, raise your hand. Tell us what, for Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that I woke up this morning clothed in my right mind.
Amen.
And I'm thankful
Amen.
That I know the Lord.
Amen.
And I know he knows me.
Amen.
I thank God I'm alive.
Amen, y'all. Raise your hand. This is your time. Let somebody.
I'm thankful that God made me pass my exams and all the lessons in my life.
Amen. He says, give thanks, y'all. We're going to start practicing here now. Brother Bruce, there you go.
I thank God that he let me know him and call me into his kingdom.
Amen.
Because without that, where would I
Amen.
Be?
Amen. Glory to God.
I'm thankful for God.
Amen. Amen. Eddie, you got some more over here. When you, go ahead.
I'd just like to say I thank the Lord for being the head of my life.
Amen. Over here. Oh, this side, before you go. I don't want to run you to death.
Thank God for my family and my life. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. He says, give thanks, y'all. Here's your opportunity. Give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord.
I'm thankful for my mom.
Amen. Out of the mouth of babes, y'all.
As if you knew what I was going to say. I'm just thankful that I have a child. I'm no longer lowly. God remember me and wiped away my tears, my lowliness. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I'm thankful that every need is met. Every need is met.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for Jesus Christ who died upon Calvary for my sin.
Amen. Hand it back to the AV man. He don't ever get to talk. We got two of them back there now. They don't ever get to talk. Go ahead.
I'm thankful for being an AV man here, but I'm really... I'm thankful for my family and all the blessings the Lord keep pouring on me.
Amen. Anybody else? Raise your hand.
I'm thankful to be able to be a member of this wonderful church.
Amen.
Just thankful for how God is keeping me. Thank you.
Amen. Anybody else? This is Eddie. Oh, direct traffic.
I want to thank God for health, wholeness, deliverance, and for my kids and for safe travels this weekend.
Amen.
And for this church.
Amen. Amen. So when you get, Eddie, you're going to get your track shoes on. When you finish there, going back on that side. But, hey, we're going to take the time. Go ahead, Sister Gary.
I'm just thankful for family and for peace, everyday
Amen.
Peace.
Amen.
You do knew it.
No, you wait for the microphone.
I'm loud enough. First of all, just giving thanks to God.
Yes.
Just for his glory, his mercy. But I want to thank God for just directing my path. Amen. I've been praying to God lately for a lot of things. He's probably saying, oh, Lord, here is Jackie again. But he's been working in my life. He's been working on my job. I have so many conflicts and things Amen. That my pastor preach about. They're approaching me at my job. And I've just been praying and asking God to direct me. And he does. So I'm just so thankful that I am one of those that he chose to save and say she is my child. And I thank Amen. You for my family.
Amen. 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 Who else? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. If you're thankful for anything, if you're thankful for anything, raise your hand. Sister, back over that way. Oh, that's what she got. Y'all be patient. She loses her voice every time the weather changes. That's the truth.
I just want to thank God for my family and for my health and strength.
She said she wants to thank God for her family and her health and strength.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank God for inner spirit, peace, and my family.
Amen. Amen.
I get friends from my mom.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for his love, his grace, and his mercy in my life each and every day.
Amen.
I want to thank God for that song she sang.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want to thank God for giving my dad the strength to take care and guide our family.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Because I'm just following directions, y'all. He says, give thanks unto the Lord. That's the direction. So I'm just following directions.
I'm just thankful to God for the cross, his love for us, his mercy. For this church, especially the men, you know, we're close. I'm Amen. Thankful for just to live in America. I'm
Amen.
Very grateful for my wife and Ben and Jake and to live in America, yeah. A godly country. What a blessing.
Amen.
We're blessed in a lot of Amen. Ways. I'm grateful for this church.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Eddie gonna lose 5 pounds just running around.
I would like to thank, first of all, for God, because he has been providing. He's the sovereign Lord. And just being able to wake all of us today and just come to church today. And I will also be thankful for my family because, since my grandmother died and, you know, just some of us, we have lost loved ones, but we all should be thankful that we are still alive today because of him, because of his name, because of his glory, because of his sovereignty. So that's what I would like to be thankful for.
Amen. 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 Is there anybody else? Anybody else? Brother Ward? Amen. Woo! Woo! He's a healing God. He's a healing God. On you, Eddie.
Oh, I want to thank God for my family and my health. God's been good to me. I want to just thank God for everything that he's done for this family.
Amen. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Good shepherd. Y'all give God a praise. Y'all give God a praise. Church, the Bible gives us a good illustration. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to give you a little, just a little bit of something to go with this, and then I'll read the scriptures. But here was a situation where Jesus is coming into town, and he sees 10 lepers. Now, understand, especially in that day, when you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. It was a slow death sentence. And in Scripture, leprosy always represents sin. And these men had this disease, no cure. Just like sin, there is only one cure for sin, and that's Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus. And so here these men are. Here are these 10 men. And Jesus comes into the town. And I'm going to start with verse 12. He says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Because they had to stay away from the population, y'all, because they were unclean. They were unclean and they were contagious. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, don't miss that. Please don't miss that. It says, they asked Jesus to clean us, to heal us. And it says, and there was no rockets went off, no bombs bursting in air, no music in the background. It says, as they went, they just went on down the street and things got better. In fact, not only things get better, they got completely healed. And y'all read the rest of the text when you go home. I'm just going to tell you what it says. It says that he healed 10 of them. And as they went, you know, went back to their normal routine. Life is wonderful. You're going down. And they got healed. Completely, utterly, thoroughly healed. Take note. Only one. Now, they all noticed they were healed. Because when you got leprosy and things are rotting off your body and falling apart, you know that you're sick. But now they get healed and they're made whole. And only one comes back to Jesus to say thank you. I believe that's why in our psalm, and many, 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 many psalms, God is always saying, can't you at least say thank you? I mean, you came to him. He said, oh, Lord, help me. Lord, my life is falling apart. And, oh, Lord, I can't get a job. And then you got your job. And, okay, oh, Lord, my car is broke down, Lord. Oh, and then you got your car. And, oh, Lord, I can't get to the next paycheck. And then he gets you to the next paycheck. And then all of a sudden, you're no longer in danger. All of a sudden, the bank account, you actually got one. You even got enough money to make a budget. Everything's going your way. And you see it. And you still won't stop by the house of the Lord and say, Lord, and let the world know how good God's been to you. You still, well, I'm busy. I got things to do. God understands me. Me and God got a thing. Yeah, that thing that you and God got, he says, you're supposed to stop and say thank you. And not only are you supposed to stop and say thank you, you're supposed to let everybody else know that God's been good to you. Let people, because people doubt God. They doubt God. And here he is. He has, just like he did with these 10 lepers, he has taken you. He has spoken a word in your life. He has healed you. And now you're just walking down the street. And also, and you notice, I'm okay now. He got you about your sick bed. I'm okay now. Huh? It's 8:30 Sunday morning. Man, I think Jesus will understand. I mean, I used to go to Sunday school when I was a kid. I got enough of that. I can still remember how Moses rode out on the ark. I remember about Abraham and that whale. If you're going to come and give God some thanks, he'll strengthen you. If he did that for you. Yeah. You see, you're not thinking. If he did that for you while you were drowning in sin, what will he do for me if I'm obedient enough to just tell everybody about him? I ain't got to convince nobody. I just got to tell everybody. I got to tell everybody about my Jesus. If he did it for me then, What blessings are you missing out on when you don't come on Wednesday, when you don't come on Sunday morning, when you don't send your kids on Tuesday? What blessings, what untold blessings are you missing out on because you're just too busy for God? But oh, let them give you a pink slip. You find some time for God. You'll find plenty of time for God. You let them give you a pink slip. He says, our first thing is, let's all give thanks. And we did, and I'm so thankful for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. I just, because we are going to We are going to grow spiritually. We are going to grow numerically. But we are going to learn how to serve God and serve him according to his word. Not according to how we think, not according to how we feel, but what thus saith the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. And so I'm just excited about being able to say to folks, when God does something, don't you be counted. Let us not be counted in the nine. Let us be the one. No matter what everybody else says, no matter what everybody else does, let us be the one who comes back to Jesus and says, thank you, thank you, thank you. I missed this part, and the Lord's just, it's like, make sure you tell him this. When the one came back, in verse 18, in verse 17, Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Now, I don't know what all that means, but I do know this. The nine got healed. The one got made whole. Why did he get whole and the rest just got healed? Because he came back to say thank you. Let me see. I'm going to dig a little deeper. How much did this cost him? Y'all see that in your Bible? How much did this cost him? Didn't cost him nothing. It's just like salvation. Salvation is free. Jesus paid it all. Amen. We talk about giving thanks. Then he says, in the next portion, he says, give thanks unto the Lord. He says, call upon his name. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. Well, let's understand that God has many names. He's got many names. It's, for example, let's take Mr. Smith. Some know him as just Mr. Smith. Some know him as Dr. Smith. Some know him as Judge Smith. Some know him as President Smith. But it's all the same man. It's Mr. Smith. Some of us know God as, the scripture refers to him as Jehovah. Scripture refers to him as Yeshua. Scripture refers to him as the Most High. Hey, turn your Bibles to Psalms, Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. Because he says, call on the name. But they always say, call on the name of God, singular. But we all know that God is plural. And we'll see that in our text, in our scriptures. In Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, I want you, when he says, call on the name of God, I want you to see this. Excuse me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Which name do I use? Which name do I use? Do I use, in verse 1, the Most High? that's a superlative. That's the Most High. That's for observational stuff. The Most High. And Isaiah says there's no God like our God. It's observational. He is the Most High God. I'm going to call on him. I'm going to call on him. He says, in times of trouble, I need to, what did he say? I need to hide under the shadow of Almighty God. See, now Most High is cool. Most High is great. It's observational. Most High is really, really special. But in times of trouble, I need a hiding place. I need some place. I need to hide in the shadow of Almighty El Shaddai, Almighty God. I need a God who can, whatever my circumstances are. And you know what? Everybody's circumstance varies. What really will mess you up, I look as a light thing. What I think is a horrible, horrible, you look at it as, why are you fretting that? But no matter what your situation is, no matter where your problem is, no matter what is breaking your heart, you need to know there's a hiding place under the wings of the Almighty God. And because you belong to him, because I belong to him, guess what? He says, come on. Have you ever watched a mother, I think the ducks do it even a little bit better than the chickens. I was raised on a farm. I saw the chickens. But the ducks, when the mama, she, everybody get in line. And when there's danger, she kind of draws them all up close to her. And here's a little bitty duck ready to take on whoever comes at her babies. Need to hide in the shadows of the Almighty God. And he says, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. The Lord, that is the given name of our God. That's Yahweh. That's Jehovah God. That's how he revealed himself to Moses. When Moses said, who should I tell him sent me? Moses, God looked at Moses. He said, and don't forget now, don't forget. Abraham has served him. Isaac has served him. Jacob has served him. But God said to Moses, he said, they know me, but they don't know me like this. Because had they known him like this, Moses wouldn't have to say, who should I tell him sent me? He said, you tell him, Akshah, Aksher. You tell him, the one who always was, the one who always is, and the one who always will be. That's who sent you. He tells you right here, he goes, I will say unto the Lord, when you see all capitals, he's talking about the name, the unspeakable name, because if you don't put the vowel points in there, you can't even speak his name. And the old Jewish rabbis, when they would get to that spot, they'd just go, shh, because they're so afraid of offending God. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we were afraid of offending God? If we actually thought that to do wrong, if we actually thought to disobey God, to disobey God was something that would really be bad, wouldn't that just be, if we gave God that kind of respect, we give it to people, we give it to our bosses. Your boss say something totally crazy, you bite, you almost bleed, cut your tongue off trying to keep your mouth shut. But with God, but the early rabbis, no, they knew who they were dealing with. If we would ever get to that point, here's the blessing of it. When you know God that well, what did he say about Moses? He said Moses spoke to him like a friend. Spoke to him like a friend face to face. Y'all, because of Jesus, we have the opportunity of a closer relationship with the Father than Moses. You hear that? That's what the Bible says. Moses was looking forward to where we're at. You and I had that privilege, that one-on-one privilege to go to the Lord. And then in verse 2, he says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Call on the name now, my God in whom I will trust. Well, that word God, that's Elohim. Guess what? In the very first sentence of the Bible, you're introduced to him as Elohim. Well, wait a minute. I thought you said call on the name. And Elohim means plural. Because from the very beginning, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's letting you know right there in the beginning, I'm a Godhead. I'm a plurality. Even though I say God, I am a plurality. Keep this in mind, y'all. Whenever somebody's talking to you, telling you oh, the Trinity can't be true, the Trinity can't be real, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they can't all be God, and they can't all be one. Think about this. The Scriptures tell us very clearly. The Scriptures very clear. I don't try to get real deep with folks because I ain't that deep. But what I will tell you is this. The Bible says, the Word of God says, by a witness of 2 to 3 is a thing established as truth. Amen? By a witness of 2 to 3 is a thing established as truth. God is eternal. Amen? Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. If God is eternal, then there has to be a witness of 2 to 3 to the fact that he's eternal. So God says he is eternal. So who's going to back him up except for the Son and the Holy Ghost? The Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost is God. Well, he's eternal. Who's going to back him up? The Father and the Son. Jesus said he's the only way out. He's our Redeemer. He's eternal. He said, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega. Ain't nothing in between. Who's going to back him up? The Father and the Holy Ghost. God's a Trinity. And he says it in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. It ain't deep, y'all. Don't let people try to do you the okey-doke. It ain't that deep. God continuously tells us that you might know. Now, if that ain't true, there's something wrong here. If somebody, well, you know, this stuff in the Bible is just so deep. God said that you might know. And all you got to do is be willing to know and give him some time. Spend some time with him. And man, he'll open up your eyes to some stuff, just make you shout. And then you'll remember, you get that R&R, you'll remember to remind other folks of who God is. You'll get that because he says, take some time to talk about the Lord. Let's go back. Let's go back over here to Psalms. Let's go back over here. He said, we talked about giving thanks. Talk about calling on the name. Call on that name. He's encouraging you. Call on that name. You can say, Elohim, here I am. You can say, Jehovah, here I am. You can say, El Shaddai, here I am. Just call me. Amen. And he says, making known his deeds. Now, I want you to take note when he says making known his deeds among the people. He's not talking about making known his deeds to the outside world. That comes later. It's the church who needs reminding as to who God is. It's the church. It's the people of God who need to be reminded on a daily basis just who we serve. And he says, tell people about my deeds. Tell people about some of the things I've done and how I did what I do. Just deeds is talking about these past events that God has written down in Scripture. And I got one. I'm going to tell you this one because this is one that I don't think gets enough. What do you call it? Airtime. Yeah, airtime. Okay. And I want you to mark in your Bibles. I want you to mark these Scriptures because since there's so much, I'm just going to. I might go through there, I might not, but I want you to write it down. 1 Chronicles 15:26. 2 Chronicles 35:3. 1 Chronicles 15:26. 2 Chronicles 35:3. Now, in 2 Chronicles 35:3, God explains to the Levites. He says, when it's time to carry the Ark of the Covenant, I want only the Levites to handle the Ark of the Covenant because the Ark of the Covenant had the presence of God. And I want only the Levites to handle this. Now, keep that in mind. And remember this, that's the Jewish God. And he told them, he said, when you bear this Ark on your shoulders, they were supposed to put it on staves. And then the Levites were supposed to carry it on their shoulders. And God told them in these passages, he said, I will help you carry the burden. Now, that's important, y'all. That's important because the Bible talks about when the heathens Whenever the heathens had to take their gods, you know, like the heathens were nomads, and so they would pile their gods onto their oxen and stuff. And so the Bible speaks of how their oxen were burdened. Their oxen were dragging because they had to carry their gods everywhere they went. You can't leave home without them. And they had to drag their gods with them wherever they went. And God says to the Levites, he says, put my ark, which is heavy. It's gold. It's wood. It's heavy. He says, put it on staves. And he says, and put it on your shoulders. And he says, and I will help you carry that burden. Don't you need to know that we got a heavy load bearer? Don't you need to know? That's for every child of God. I want you to know on the promise of God. What did Jesus say? My burden is light. Why does he say that? Because he says, I'm going to take your burden. I'm going to take whatever it is that's ailing you. I'm going to take whatever it is that's got you bound up. I'm going to take whatever it is that's got your focus away from me. Got your focus away from my people. Got your focus away from my kingdom. He says, give it to me. Give it to me. And I'll carry the load. The song says, didn't you know he's a heavy load bearer? Yes, that's what the song says. He's a heavy load bearer. And unlike the heathens, they got to tote their gods around. Well, here's something that took place. This is a deed that God did that I don't think it gets enough airplay. In 2 Samuel, David had decided they were going to move the Ark of the Covenant. And think about this. The Ark was heavy. And so they decided they were going to get it and put it on an oxen cart because it was so heavy. They weren't going to have the priests weren't going to have to carry it. It was heavy. So David decided to do what was right in his own mind. Not too much unlike us, y'all. Not too much unlike us when we see what's really clearly written. God had clearly written the Levites. This is their job. This is their responsibility. And David took it upon himself to say, no, I think this would be better if we put it on the ox cart. Look at our lives, y'all. Y'all want to know why our lives are so shipwrecked? You want to know why our lives get so topsy-turvy so many times in our lifetime? Because when we see the word clearly written, we always want to add in, yeah, but. Now, what harm could it be to take the Ark of the Covenant and put it on a cart and let the oxen do it? You might keep these brothers from getting their back broken, but that's what God, that's the way God told them to do it. And so look at what happened. They're going along. The cart is on the oxen. It's on the Ark of the Covenant is on the ox cart. And Uzzah, one of the men walking beside the cart, he sees the Ark start to rock. And the Bible says, Uzzah reaches up. What harm could this be, y'all? Uzzah reaches up to steady the ark. Now, wait. First thing, David made the mistake of not obeying God. And instead of having the Levites carry it like he was supposed to, he decided, yeah, but we'll let the oxen do it. And then Uzzah, when he saw the ark tipping over, now he don't want God's ark to hit the ground. And so he reaches up to steady the ark. And God killed him. What? God killed him. Because God doesn't need our help. When he tells you what to do, when he tells me what to do, he expects us to obey. And when we obey, that's when we go over to 1 Chronicles 15, 26. 1 Chronicles 15, 26. All these things are going up. Here's a summary verse for you. Y'all, when you go home, read the rest for yourself, but here's a summary verse. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. God had already promised them, do it my way and I'll bear the burden. Do it my way and I'll bear the burden. God has said to you and to me, obey me, y'all. Obey me. Save the lives of these babies. Obey me. Talk to your brothers and sisters who don't know me. Obey me. Talk to the strangers who don't know me. I wish that none should perish. Obey me. Tell the world that men are men, women are women. And guess what? If they'll submit to God, and we don't even deny that folks struggle with this, y'all. Sin. Everybody struggles with sin. How can you not struggle with sin? But the good news, at least they're struggling. That means God is speaking to them, and you don't need to go up to them and say, well, don't, yeah, but. Yeah, but. You need to say, come on, let's pray. God says he'll carry this burden. And the Apostle Paul says, such were some of you. Let us not give up on God, y'all. Let us not do what Uzzah did. Uzzah meant well. He really meant well. But he wasn't supposed to touch that ark. Nobody was supposed to touch that but the Levites. Amen. Tell people about the great deeds of God and how God promised to carry the burden and carry the load and how he came through for them every time. Every time they obeyed him, every time we obey him, he will come through because he's God Almighty. He's Jehovah. He's Elyon. He is El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is everything. He is everything. It says, making known his deeds. Fourth part, singing psalms unto him. Ephesians 5:19. And it reads, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He says, this is what we do. He goes, this is part of our R&R instruction, singing psalms and hymns to God. And he says, sing the psalms and hymns to God, because God wants to hear it, and B, because it will lift you up. It will lift your spirits to sing a song to God. When you hear somebody... One of the songs we do it on Wednesday night, everyone says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's just something about that name. Sing those songs to yourself. Shout hallelujah to yourself. Let the world know. Let the redeemed shout, I'm saved. I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. And I want you to be saved too. And I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Well, shut up. No, I'm not going to shut up. It's like a fire. It's like a fire inside of my bones. I can't shut up. I try shutting up. It don't work. So I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you about my Jesus. And I want you to tell somebody else about my Jesus. He's our Lord and our Savior. This is not kiddie stuff. This is not playtime. This is not showtime for the sheep. This is life and death. This is somebody's going to be in heaven and somebody's going to be in hell. This is life and death. And we're not selling insurance policies. It's do you believe? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you shall be saved. Tell somebody. Start talking. It's time to start talking seriously about the Lord to everybody in your life. And if they run away, understand that just means that the soil wasn't prepared. So you just let that one go today. And when they come back again, you give them the message again. Y'all, it's such a wonderful thing to see when the scales come off of people's eyes And especially when you can look in the mirror and you can say, there but for the grace of God. That's me, y'all. That's me out there with that sign. That's me out there on Skid Row. That's me thinking, because I got 5, 10, 15 babies all over town, I'm thinking I'm a man. That's me. That's me. Until God finally opens your eyes and you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, what a wretch. What a wretch. But understand, once we get to the point to where we say, I'm a wretch, God say, that's why I got you right where I want you. I got you right where now I can use you. Now, it's just like when you drown in the lifeguard, he won't even touch you till you stop fighting. He'll let you just sink and sink and sink like a piece of rock in the water. And until you say, I can't get up out of this, I'm through, I'm toast. I can't get up out of this. That's when the lifeguard, that's when he'll reach over and grab hold to you. Say, now I got you where I want you. That's what Jesus did for all of us, y'all. When we come to the end of us, when we come to the end of my yeah, but, and my philosophy, and how I feel, and how, when we finally get through all that nonsense and understand that this is heaven and this is hell. The Bible says on this side is the sheep and on this side is the goats. What's in between? Nothing. And when we get to that point, then we will earnestly tell the world about the good news, y'all. I once was lost. I once was lost. And now I'm found. I'm found. And not only am I found, I got a home. I got a home. Ooh, I just got a flash. No such thing as a homeless Christian. Ooh! No such thing as a homeless. You got a home. You got a home. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you one. And if it wasn't true, I'd tell you. You and I, when you belong to Jesus, no such thing as a homeless Christian. Talk about giving thanks, calling on the name of the Lord, making known his deeds, singing psalms unto him, and letting folks know about his wondrous works. This last thing, when letting folks know about his wondrous works. I'm going to tell you, in the book of Joshua, where it talk about when they went into Jericho. I don't even need to tell y'all where that's at, because every child, even though y'all ain't been in Sunday school for a while, you still know, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. And I would say, what? I thought he fought the battle. No, he fit the battle. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Okay. I'm going to tell you about the Gentile Passover. Tell you about the Gentile Passover. You all know about the Exodus. I'm going to tell you about God's wondrous works, and I'm going to let you go. God's wondrous works. This is one that doesn't get much airplay. His wondrous works. You know about the Exodus. You know about how he brought out close to 3 million Jewish people, brought them across the Red Sea, and then you probably have heard that when Joshua took over, Moses was dead, Joshua took over, and they got to the Jordan, and God did a wonderful thing, a miraculous thing. He said, Moses brought them across on the red, dry ground. He said, but I'm not going to stop the water of the Jordan until you get ready to put your foot in the water. He said, I'm not going to stop anything until the Levites come and put their foot in the water. And he did that. That was beautiful. That was wonderful. But I'm going to tell you about the Gentile Passover. The Gentile Passover. When Joshua and his men got over next door, when they got over into Jericho, when two spies went over there and they went to Rahab's house. When you read the scripture, a lot of people went to Rahab's house. She was a business lady, okay? She was a businesswoman. Businesswoman. Okay. And so they got there to Rahab's house, and Rahab, she met the spies, and she said, we heard about y'all. Now, she didn't have no internet. She had no telephone. She didn't have no newspaper. She didn't have no telegraph. She didn't have no smoke signals. She said, but I heard what your God did. I heard, and Rahab is a Gentile, y'all. Rahab said, I heard what your God did to the Egyptians. And I see you guys here. And she told him, everybody here trembling. Everybody here scared because they know what you did to the most powerful nation. See, understand, y'all, when you want to fight, when you want to let God fight your battles, take a look at his history. He takes on the biggest, baddest country in the world. And he says, if you just humble yourself and follow me, I'll take you through this. America, we all upset right now. Oh, the world's coming to an end. Trust God. Don't trust Trump. Don't trust Obama. Don't trust Hillary. Trust God. Amen. Okay, back to Rahab. Okay, Rahab says, "Yeah, we know that you guys took y'all whipped everybody." And so what the two spies said to Rahab, they said, "Look here." They said, "We're going to come back here, and I'm going to give you a modern day translation. When we finish with this place, it will be nothing. Their world will end as they know it when we finish here. It's going to be done." So he said, "But if you'll take this scar, this scarlet thread, if you'll take this scarlet thread and just hang it out the window." Now, I'm talking to you about the Gentile Passover. The Jews, God told the Jews, he said, everybody who puts the blood over the mantle, if you put the blood over the mantle, when the death angel comes through town, anybody who's in that house, I'll pass them over. An incredible, wonderful work of God that we all know about. We all hear. We talk about the Passover. But I'm telling you, look here in the Gentiles. See, because I want you to know, anybody who's not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Guess what? I believe everybody in here with me today, in the sound of my voice in Good Shepherd Baptist Church, we be Gentiles. Amen. But guess what? You were always in God's plan. We were not an afterthought, y'all. We were always in God's plan. So when the two spies came there and they said, "Here's what you do. You put this scarlet thread out the window. And when we come back, anybody who's in this room, we won't touch them. They will be saved." "Well, what about that low-down, dirty, no-good brother-in-law of mine? If he has enough faith to come into this room and stay here, he shall be saved. What about that ne'er-do-well husband of mine? What? Surely God can't save him. If he's got enough faith to come into this room and trust God, he shall be saved. What about my son, Lord? I got a 35-year-old son. I got a 40-year-old son. I got a 50-year-old son, and they've done nothing but hate you, God. They've done nothing. They've never called on your name. They don't. I don't see a smidgen of Christianity in them. I don't see any ounce of Christianity in them." If he'll have enough faith to come into this room, as nasty and low down and dirty as he is, he shall be y'all, that's a picture of the cross. That's the cross right there. Here's the biggest difference. At the cross, you have the Passover and you have the Gentile Passover with Rahab. And we're all one in Yeshua Jesus. And the Bible says when we come together, we are a new creature, Jew and Gentile. Old things are passed away. And he says, all things have become new. When you look at those words where the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, no matter how dirty, no matter how long you've been out there, and some of us have been out there a while, he says, no matter how far you got away from God, if you have enough faith to bring you to this cross, to this moment in time, if you just come to this cross and humble yourself and say, "I can't do it, I need Jesus," he says, "you shall be saved." That's good news, church. That's good news, church. And that's what you and I and everybody else, a good shepherd, needs to be doing. We need to take some time to talk to some folks and to talk to some friends and to talk to some enemies and tell them about our Lord and how they can be saved. Thank you.